Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Power Word, Shir number 88. We're talking about verbal abuse. And last year, we were talking about the healthy reality, which we called reality number 2, of mutuality and mutual respect, personal power of health. And today, we're going to have a look on the unhealthy reality number 1, the power over reality, which is the world in which an abuser lives and where an abusive relationship, unfortunately, takes place. And by uncovering these unconscious rules of this power game that these abusers play and the methods in which it attains legitimacy, it becomes legitimate in their eyes, by learning about this, will hopefully bring about some basic changes to this. And since recognizing and identifying verbal abuse has proven to be very difficult for many people, this is why decision was made here to discuss it, because it's very rarely discussed. And therefore, we're going to explore it. And again, you can't just base your conclusions on what you're hearing here, because you could have had a very upsetting day in your marriage and one of you being very insensitive or whatever it was, and all yell out abuse, you know. You can't do that either, you know. Can't go with every human problem and every bump in the road and every bad midah shown and yell abuse, you know, like the boy who cried wolf type of thing. But at the same time, you have to recognize what it really is and what if there's a real pattern here, there, you know. So that's really what it is. So trying to be as accurate and scientific as possible as we're going through these realities. A verbal abuser grows up in reality number 1. They all really grow up that way in a certain way, where you have that ego in the beginning, but everyone emerges into that healthy reality number 2. But an abuser never left that reality number 1. They never integrated. They never learned how to value themselves to the degree where they're willing to accept others. And therefore, what happens is the abuser knows they don't understand what personal power is. They can't feel secure in self-acceptance in personal power. So they avoid that feeling of powerlessness by dominating, by controlling others, especially their marriage partner. And an abuser is determined not to admit to their manipulation or control, because if they would, they would have to come face to face with their own feelings, which would mean death to them. They couldn't handle it. An abuser rejects their partner's warmth and openness because they are the very qualities that he's afraid of in himself. Because the reality 1, these qualities of vulnerability are dangerous and foreign to them. And vulnerability to an abuser that's sitting in reality number 1 is death. They cannot be vulnerable. So generally an abuser isn't thinking about the pain that he's inflicting by the abuse. He may win a battle with the manipulation, put down the other one without realizing sometimes that even that the battle is taking place. It's just second nature to them to always put the other person down, to always control. And sometimes a physical abuser will confuse the abused one by admitting it. I did hit you, and I'm sorry, and I'll never do it again. And then they'll do it again. In that case, really what should happen is the partner, the one who is the victim of the abuse, should know what's happening is real because they see the physical scars. Can hit a point where it's so deep that and the abuser's denial is so deep, and they minimize the physical damage done to their wives, that the denial can confuse the victim in their own perceptions, even though they see the bruises themselves. Well, maybe I caused it myself. Maybe I did something terrible to spark that anger. But generally, it's a little easier for them to wake up when there's an actual physical abuse taking place. When it's verbal abuse, it's a little trickier. It's a lot trickier. Because they have a difficult time. A lot of people who went through verbal abuse, in the real sense of the word, they caught on and they left the relationship. But they say, if you've never been in a verbally abused situation, relationship, you would have a very difficult time knowing what it's like. And you may have not even recognized it, because I didn't recognize it myself for many years. You know, the abuser's declarations of love is in direct contrast to the hurtful things that he's saying, which makes the victim very puzzled and confused. Because they'll say, I love you, and I care about you. They're known to say this. Verbal abusers are known to say, I love you. Or not only I love you, no one can love you as much as I do. I'll never leave you. I'll never do anything to hurt you. I just want you to be happy. Verbal abusers are known to say all this. Now, every person is different and every abuser is different. Some abusers may be extremely overpowering and demanding, but some may be on the opposite extreme. They're reclusive. They occasionally demand, but they're very, very, very manipulative. Others may seem very angry all the time. And some may be outgoing and hang out with other men. Others may be loners. They come in different forms. But here are some characteristics that we're going to describe now that are symptoms of an abuser. They're not all there, but if there's a lot of them there, then you could sense there's a real problem existing. So here are some of those things that could happen. A verbal abuser may be irritable. They'll blame their wife or husband for the outbursts and actions. They're unpredictable, meaning you won't know what will anger them or what will trigger them or what will set them off. They are often angry. They are often intense. They are unaccepting of their mate's feelings or views. Very unaccepting. They think that they're hearing, they look like they're listening, yeah, yeah, and say the opposite. You could tell they totally aren't getting it. They're unexpressive of warmth. They're unexpressive of empathy. Now, that's tricky because there's some narcissists that will turn on that mode to show warmth and empathy just to confuse you further. But many of them are unexpressive of warmth or empathy. Controlling, silent, uncommunicative, and private. Sometimes they could be not like that, and they could be demanding and argumentative. And they're a nice guy to others. This is a real big one. An abuser, a verbal abuser in particular, very often, they're the sweetest people to the outside world. Nicest person. Big bal chesed. Kind. Considerate. To everyone but their own victim. Usually their spouse. They're very competitive towards their partner. Sullen. Jealous. They're quick with the comebacks or put-downs right away. Anything you say that may be slightly critical or even not critical at all, they'll right away come back with a one-liner or a put-down to put you in place. Extremely critical. Extremely manipulative. Explosive. Hostile. Unexpressive of true feelings. And usually the victim of the verbal abuser finds it difficult to see their husband, in this case, objectively or clearly. This is true, especially if they're living in a different reality. He's not seeking mutuality. He's seeking control. He's seeking domination. So his behavior is also changeable and adapts to keep his partner, the spouse, off balance and confused without knowing it. So here is some signs, some concepts to understand, to recognize whether this relationship is taking place. The one way to tell is if the abuser, the husband or the wife, is in reality number one or not. What makes the person be in that reality number one versus number two? We're going to go into it a little more in the next year, but here are the basic framework of it. Here are examples, and then we're going to go through different life kind examples to explain this, of how you could tell that you're in one reality. You're in the reality number two, which is healthy. You are in this mutually cooperative, loving, connecting relationship, while your partner, the verbal abuser, is in reality number one, is in the power over mode. So here is the basic signs. When what is present when you're in this relationship is inequality. So what is present is inequality, and what is lacking is equality. There's no mutual connection of realizing that each one has their say and each one is their individual person. If the abuser is in reality number one, it's always competition. Competition, one-up, not a mutual partnership. In addition, what's present is manipulation instead of being not manipulative and just being mutually expressing each other in an honest way. What is present in reality number one is a hostility. Sometimes it's an overt, open hostility, and sometimes it is a quiet, brooding hostility. What is lacking there is a goodwill. There is never goodwill coming from that person towards you. What's present when an abuser is in reality number one is control. Control. To rule over. As opposed to what's lacking, which is intimacy. There is no intimacy when there is that need to control. Does not exist. What is present in reality number one is negation. You negate the other one. You mevatel the other one. They used to have, unfortunately, this is where Tayrika becomes samhamaves. In the yeshivish terms, they basically used to say this often, unfortunately, when someone didn't like another person or the way a person represented themselves or what they said. So, again, you have to really be in the yeshivish world to understand even what I'm saying here. But they use the words, I'm not gairis, that person. Gairis means it's like a version where either you have that girsa of what's written there, or let's say in Rashi, did it say this? And some don't have that girsa, which means that that phrase is really not there. It was put in by accident, but or it's not the right girsa. So, unfortunately, in the concept of Lashon Hara and putting someone down and mocking somebody or negating someone's opinions or their value, one used to say about the other one, I'm not gairisim. Not gairisim means like I negate them. They just don't exist as anything important. They're totally insignificant, meaningless. And that is the world of reality one versus the opposite of that, which is validation. So again, in reality one, in an abuser's world, there's no equality, there's no partnership, there's no mutuality, there's no goodwill, there's no true intimacy, and there's no validation. Again, we're not talking about a one-time upsetting thing, we're talking about a pattern, a constant pattern, where this is always prevalent and prominent. That's when you know that it is a terrible situation. And this is why it's so important. And here's the question, whether your words could shape your inner feelings or not. Could a person that's living in reality number one, with training and understanding and with therapy, or whatever it may be, to shake them out of that reality and start working towards empathy and using words right and using behavior modification correctly, are they healable? And they are healable, but it takes a lot more work and effort and intervention. But in the meantime, when one is suffering as a victim of that, one really needs to be aware of that and ask accordingly about whatever help they need for their own sakes and for the sakes of their children. Bracha v'atzlacha.